11 verses of Matthew chapter 4, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for all that's done in the house of God. Most of all, we thank you for atoning our sins and dying for our sins on Calvary's cross and giving us and making us heirs to the kingdom of God. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for every church in this great country, Father God, that's lifting you up and praising you on today. Reach out, Father God. Touch someone that don't know you today. Speak to their hearts and give them the faith to believe. Father, thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 So we see Jesus in all his righteousness and all his holiness and all his power having to deal with Satan. Having to deal with who Jesus calls, who the Bible calls in these verses, the tempter. The tempter. What's a tempter? What's a tempter? Amen.
Amen.
Someone who tempts. Okay? Someone who tempts. And when we look at the word tempter and we try to explain the word tempter, it's to tempt someone is to try and attempt to make them what? Do something. A tempter. I have a few definitions. To scrutinize. One of the first things a tempter will do is to scrutinize you. What's that mean? To examine you. Uh-huh. To somebody say this, to check you out, to inspect it. To dissect and to do research and find out where you're weak at. Find out where you're strong at. The word entice comes out of the word tempter. When I looked up the word tempter, to entice. To lure someone into doing something. Tempters can be charming, fascinating, attractive. I think about the word lure as a fisherman, you take a lure and you want to make that lure look as much like the real thing as possible.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that the fish don't see the hooks.
Uh-huh.
Tempted also means to analyze. Anybody ever been analyzed? You ever talk to somebody, feel like you're being evaluated? You feel like you're being analyzed? Absolutely. To examine. Here's one. To try. Tempter going to try. Anybody been tried this week?
Amen.
Anybody ran into the tempter this week? Been tried this week? Been checked out? The tempter. Now he's dealing with Jesus. And what's he trying to get Jesus to do? Same thing he tries to get us to do as believers. All the time. If. Now heard me say, if. What's he trying to do? Cause doubt. Create doubt. Started in the garden. What did he do with Eve? Created doubt. Did God really say that? Two thieves on the cross. What was the one thief? What's the one thief that didn't go to heaven? What did he say? If. And you hear that from people, or you as you walk this world as a Christian, as a believer, and you are open about your faith, and folks will always say, if. If you was a Christian, if you really believed, if you really was, I hear it all the time. Young kids and the inmates will see me doing something, I have to challenge them or restrain them. Well, you know, if you was a Christian, you wouldn't try to break my arm. If. Okay, so we look at Jesus and the tempter, and I just want to talk about the tempter and some of the great tests of the tempter. Great men of God have been tested. You guys are going to be tested. Some of you being tested now. Some of you sit up and wake up and I'm being tested. I'm being challenged. I you know, because you want to do something that you know. Ain't got no business doing. How about that?
Amen.
That come from Deacon Jeremy. He tested all the time. Here's Job. God didn't speak this way about many folks in the Bible. The word of God talked about Job in Job 1. It says, and there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. Now watch what God's word said about Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job was as good as a guy. The word perfect there don't mean he was perfect without sin. The word of God perfect here means that he was a righteous man. He lived a life that pleased God. He was upright, straight up in his dealings. He wasn't trying to hustle nobody and scheme and scam people. But then in verse 8 it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now watch what Satan says. Some of you know these stories. Like some of them, you just can read them and they preach on their own. Then Satan, the tempter, answered the Lord and said, do Job fear God for not? Now that should be something that we want Satan to say about us.
Amen.
I mean, that should be something we strive for. Does Jake fear God for not? You didn't gave him everything. You got him protected. Can't nothing happen to him. That ought to be our goal as believers. We ought to, you know, because we're going to get tested.
Amen.
Some of you are going to get tested as soon as you leave here.
Amen.
Some of you are being tested. Some of us will say it was a test just to get here.
Amen.
Okay? Has not thou made a hedge about him? What's Satan saying? Can't get to him. But he's also saying God will protect those that reverence him.
Amen.
And that's the word fear mean. The word of fear means Job is like, oh my God, oh my God. No, he reverenced God. He had a reverence for God and the power of God and the word of God. He had a reverence for God. And because he did, God put a hedge around him. I used to hear a song, they say, Lord, build a fence all around me. That ought to be our prayer. I know I need a fence.
Amen.
Okay? See, no, we don't like talking about fences and stuff. We think about the wall. We think, I'll build a wall. No. We need a fence around us.
Amen.
I need a wall around me. I wish I had enough. I'd build a wall around me and my family.
Amen.
Somebody say, we got one. It's a spiritual wall.
Amen.
I really believe that. We sing the song, the weapon formed against us shall prosper, with the people of God. Really, you have a wall around you. Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and the substance in his increase in the land. God been good to Job, but Job was good to God. Well, watch God. Don't test Job. See, some of us get tested. We get so frustrated. Oh, I got to go through. Oh, I'm going through. I got to take care of the business. I got to do this. I'm by my... Listen, let me tell you something. God may be allowing Satan to test you. Tests are sometimes our opportunity to shine when we're in a test. Anybody can shine when everything's going good. Anybody can shine with everything. I got a pocket full of money. I got my car running good. You know, I'm getting straight A's in school. You know, my kids are doing good. All my bills is paid. My credit rating is in 800. Anybody can praise the Lord. Anybody, you can shine like that. Let the kids start acting up. Now the car stops. So I hear people car don't start. They have a nervous breakdown because the car didn't start. Kicking the tires and on the phone. You see them. I'm like, hey, watch this now. God knew what he had in Job. Here's the question. Does God know what he had in you? Have you put your work in? Job put his work in. Okay? God said to Satan, put forth thy hand and touch all that he have. Job was a bad boy. Touch all that he have, and he will curse thee to thy face. That's the Satan talking. And the Lord said unto Satan, here's our word, behold, don't miss this, Satan. All that he have is in thy power. For some of us in here that think Satan don't have power, okay? He has power. Jesus called him a worthy adversary. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of God and did what he do best. Tempted Job in every way he could. Touched him in every way he could. Did everything he could but kill him. And what did Job do? Trusting God. Here's another great test of Satan. Remember Apostle Peter? Who do men say that I am? What did Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, let me tell you something. And I've talked about this verse many times. But when Peter said, thou art the Christ, he was saying, thou art the Messiah. The one that was born of a virgin, the one that lived a sinless life, the one that was promised all throughout the Old Testament to come and die for the sins of the world. That's what a Messiah was supposed to do. And Peter hit it on the nose. Peter, walking with Jesus in John 66, and everybody turned and followed him no more. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, what about you? And what did Peter say? We know his famous words. Where are we going to go? Thou hast the keys to eternal life. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now we get to Satan. Satan wants Peter. When you start working for the Lord, when you start serving God, and you start being faithful and serving God, and guess what you got coming? You got a visit from Satan. Guaranteed. Signed, sealed, and delivered. You got a guaranteed visit coming from the Lord. Okay? The Lord said unto Peter, Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, here Peter boasting and bragging. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll be there to the end. I'm going to fight to the finish. I'm a warrior. I love you, Jesus. I'm going to die for you, Jesus. And the Lord said in Luke 22:31, Simon, behold, listen at what you're saying. You speaking in prayer language, they say no's. I hear people telling me this week, well, you know, he pray in the prayer language so Satan can't understand. Satan don't need to understand it. He said, behold, you start serving the Lord. I don't care what language you speak in. You start serving the Lord. You try to put something together for the Lord. You think for 1 minute, Satan ain't going to bother you. I preach like this because I don't want nobody to hear me preach and say, well, you know what? You come to Jesus and everything's going to be wonderful. You will have happy joy in the Lord. No. Y'all know better than that. Behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Sift you as wheat. Listen, look at the word desire. See, Peter was desirable to Satan. See, Peter was much loved by Satan in a negative way. Why? Satan wants folks as committed to him as they are to Jesus. And all of us, all we had to do is turn back the pages in our lives and remember how we served the devil. Mm-hmm. We was committed. Well, nothing going to stop us from getting in them streets. Okay? It didn't matter how hot it was. It didn't matter how cold it was. It didn't matter how it was. Listen, we didn't have Lyft and Uber. That's a good thing. I'm not clubbing now. We even got to the clubs. Why? Because we was faithful in serving Satan. And Satan wants us to be faithful in serving him. Listen to what Peter says. Listen to what Jesus says to Peter. He says, Simon, tells him, say, calls his name twice, the urgency of it. Behold, you pay attention. Yeah. Pay attention, man of God. Pay attention, woman of God. Satan have desire to have you. He wants to crush you. He wants to crush you and take out the faith that is needed to please God. That's what Satan wants. He wants your faith. He wants to sift you like wheat. And we think of sifting like little, you know, we do cheese and we do it on sifting. No, sifting in the Old Testament was they put the wheat on the ground and they had our animals walk on it and crush it. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like you've been being walked on and crushed? That's what Satan do. And after he crushed all the wheat on the ground, they had a winnows thing and they would get a big pitchfork and throw the wheat up in the air, and the wind would come, and all the chaff would be blown away, and the wheat would fall down and be consumed. And Jesus used that illustration to say, Satan has desired to have you. It's a marital term. To have you. This is what we talk about when we get married. This did you take this woman to have and to, y'all know, to have. He wants you. Listen, watch what Jesus said to Peter. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for thee. Watch what he prayed for. This is what I tell Ann. I say, Ann, don't leave that sign out there. Just a little longer. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And listen, Satan don't want your money. Okay? He really don't want your time. Okay? He wants your faith. He wants your faith. That's what he wants. He wants your faith. Why? Because you cannot believe Jesus without it. He wants your faith. I don't hear people talk about faith enough. People getting saved and people getting born again and with no faith. He says, I have prayed for thee, watch this now, that thy faith fail not. Because if your faith fail, and if you hear and you listen to me on the radio or on the internet and you don't understand that, listen, without faith, faith is the God's given ability. God gives us an ability to believe and to serve and to walk with him. And without faith, it's impossible to walk with God. It's impossible to serve God. It's impossible to love God. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith.
Amen.
Through faith. Through faith. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brothers. Faith gives you the ability to strengthen the brothers. Faith gives you the ability to be converted and to be to strengthen brothers and sisters. The word is generic. Here's one. Here's one. Here's Paul. Now I go through these great apostles. And here's Paul. We talk about Job. We talk about Peter. Here's Paul. Paul was a marked man. Bible, Paul wrote so many things about persecution and adversity is coming to the life of a man of God that's serving God, a woman of God that's serving God. You got some stuff coming your way. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 3. Now, Paul had to leave Thessalonica because the pressure was too much on him. He didn't want the people to see him beaten and hurt. So he left and sent Timotheus. But he sent this letter by Timotheus to the people. Because he knew they were going to go through. See, some people won't tell you that. You're going to go through. Most of us gotten better by going through. Most of us gotten stronger by going through. You know, you don't get weaker. You don't get weaker by having adversity. You get stronger. That adversity. Adversity makes you strong. We may not know it now. When I look around the room, I see folks going through. Mm-hmm. When you look around, you look at some of the older people in here, they've been through. Amen. And still going through. That's it. But see, this is what Jesus meant when he said, and you that endure to the end. And you don't have to, if you're going through, you're going to endure. Paul writes back and says this to these Thessalonian believers. He says, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You got an appointment with afflictions. And some people, well, you know, you're going through because you don't have faith. No. Faith will get you through.
Amen.
Watch this now. Paul said, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. When Paul was ministering to people and he was explaining to them about salvation and explaining to them being justified by faith and explaining to them what salvation really meant, he explained this. Watch what he says. For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Here's verse 5. Now here's when the Satan comes in. Because what does tribulation do in the life of a believer? What's the first thing you want to do if you a new Christian? We talk about this on Wednesday night, the four soils. The first one don't hear, the second one on stony ground, the third one is on thorny ground, and the fourth one is good soil. But what's the first thing you want to do when trials and tribulation come into the life of a new believer? Cut and run. Turn and go back. You know, you hear people all the time. You know, first thing they do, well, you know, they've been delivered. I ain't smoked a cigarette in a week. I ain't drank in a month. I ain't cussed in 2 weeks. And then soon as trials and tribulations come, we get to cussing. And we get to drinking again. And we get to smoking again. And we are with them old friends. We get to running back. And Peter and Paul was afraid that this was going to happen to the Thessalonican church. Watch what he says. Because he knows Satan wants you back. Satan wants you back. He said, I want you back. Okay? He says, for this cause, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5. He says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Paul didn't want to know your faith. Y'all getting the message here? It's all about faith. Paul didn't care about how, you know, whether they was under persecution or under attack. He was saying, is your faith holding up?
Amen.
Is your faith holding up? When I see people cut and run and quit, and I know they ain't had a faith to start with. Faith, Satan gonna get after you. Watch this now. He called and to sent to know your faith. Why? Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. Tempted you to do what? To go back. To go back. And our labor be in vain. Paul says labor. A lot of preachers don't think preaching is laborious. They think it's entertaining. They think it's just short time. You don't have a good time. He says preaching and pastoring and doing ministry is laboring. Okay? I hope you all understand that. The tempter is going to come and tempt you. Come back. Come back to serving me. So we see Peter, we see Job tested, we see Peter tested. Remember, think about Peter. Think about Peter. He was tested. He failed. God restored him. Guess what Peter wrote? Guess what Peter wrote? So we don't have to think about this, but guess what Peter wrote? After God restored him, Peter failed. He failed. The cock crowed three times. He wept sorrowfully and bitterly. He was broken. But when he got it all together, 1 Peter 5:8, Peter's writing now. He's teaching now. He's teaching the brethren now. And he says, be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he used to, he devoured our people younger and younger. Younger and younger. Here's the church of Smyrna. We talk about Job, we talk about Peter, we talk about Paul. Listen, he attacked the whole church. He attacks the whole church. Satan don't care. He attacks the whole church. Here's in Revelation 2. Here's the church of Smyrna. That word Smyrna means crushed. It means crushed. And Smyrna was only one of two churches out of the seven that God had wonderful things to say about. He didn't condemn them like he did the church of Ephesus and Laodicea and Thyatira and Pergamos. Church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia, he lifted up. Why? Because they withstood. They withstood. And if you are a man of God, a woman of God in here, you're being tested, tried. Polycarp. Anybody ever heard the word Polycarp? He was crucified in the church of Smyrna. He was one of the faithful ones, and they burned him alive because he would not denounce Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Listen, Revelations 2:2-8. I like going into the book of Revelations. Here's God in the person of Jesus Christ talking to this wonderful church of Smyrna. It wouldn't sound like it's a wonderful church, but it is a wonderful church of Smyrna. The crushed church, the persecuted church is a wonderful church. And God, and unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things say the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, which was dead and is alive. Here's what he had to say about this church. I know thy works and tribulations, poverty, but thou art rich. What? Here's a church that is going through tribulation and in poverty, and God says thou art rich. Rich how? I seen some of the richness today in this church. I seen it in Sunday school when I see the hands go up and the answers. Margaret over there just pounding on scriptures, pumping them out. Sylvia, it's another story. He said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Okay? These were Jews still trying to convince the Gentiles to go back to Judaism. Folks still trying to do that today. You got the black Hebrew Israelites and the Islam are calling the church. Let's go back. Leave that white man religion and let's go back to the true religion. That's without Jesus, of course. The first thing you got to take out of any cult is Jesus. If you're going to be a cult, you got to take Jesus out. He says in verse 10, I'm going to get where I'm going. He said, fear none of these things which thou shall suffer. Okay? Y'all hear that, what I just said? Fear none of these things. Talking to this great church, this rich church, this powerful church. Fear none of these things which thou shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried, tested, persecuted, and she shall have tribulations 10 days. This is the part I love. Be thou faithful unto death. How about that? When are you going to stop serving the Lord? The true man of God, the true woman of God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be faithful unto death. And if you can't say that as a man of God, as a woman of God, then listen, you probably don't have what you think you have.
Amen.
There ain't no turning back. There ain't no turning back. Suffering not going to get us to turn back. Trials and tribulations aren't going to get us to turn back. Paul, the writer here, Jesus is saying, be ye faithful. Every one of these tests is a test of faithfulness. Satan don't care about all this stuff. He don't care if you got nice cars and you got this and you got a good job and your kids is good. He don't care about that. He wants your faith. And Jesus says to the church of Smyrna, he says, be thou faithful unto death. That's a command.
Amen.
That's not a suggestion. He's not suggesting, you know, try to be faithful. You know, you're going to go through, but hang on in there. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, be thou faithful unto death. Paul would say, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Then he said, he that have an ear. Now let me go back. I didn't finish that, did I? Be thou faithful unto death. Watch this now. And I will give thee, which indicates there's a personal relationship involved here. Okay? Your kids can't get in on your faith. Your husband can't get in on your faith. And whoever. This is personal here. And he says, and I will give thee a crown of life. How about that? A crown of life. A crown of life. Can I do one more? I think I got one more. No. Somebody said, no. I thought I did. How many remember Gehazi? That name ring a bell? Remember the prophet Elijah? Naaman had leprosy. So Elijah the prophet said, if you dip, what was it, 3 times in the Jordan, I'll heal you of it. He didn't want to dip. He said, oh, why gotta go in the dirty Jordan? Why can't I go over here? It's nice and clear. And his people had to talk him into getting in the water, getting into the dirty Jordan. And when he came out of the water, the word of God says his leprosy was gone. Now, what was the first thing Naaman wanted to do? Pay him. Well, you got all these fake preachers today who want to do miracles because they know if I can perform a miracle, I'm going to get paid. Big time. Okay? Now Gehazi worked for Elijah. When Elijah said, I don't want your money. Gehazi said, I want your money. And they start walking away. And Gehazi was his partner, was his servant. And he got to thinking about it. They walking away. He got to thinking about it now. Naaman had a lot of money. Okay. How many know talents? When he started talking about talents, he, in the scriptures, I'm in 2 Kings 5 and 22. He said he gave him 2 talents. Okay? Of money. A talent of money would weigh approximately 120 pounds. You imagine how much money that is? Okay? A lot of money. How many know the love of money is the root of all evil? The love of money will tempt you to do some things you never would have thought of doing. Every day we read the paper, somewhere in the news, somebody did something. And the money gonna cost them. Money is a great tempter. Let me read what happened. Naaman offered the money to Elijah. He turned it down. His servant tempted. Walking for a little while, and he started thinking. That temptation got him thinking. Okay? This is an interesting story. So he turns back. Bible says he turned back in 2 Kings 5:22. And he's turning back. And he said, all is well, my master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garment. Talent of silver, 120 pounds of silver. That's a lot of money. Each one of them got one. And it says a change of garments. Now, the garments, y'all understand the garments, the value of the garments. Okay? And we questioned in our mind, why did they gamble over Jesus' garments? Garments in those days were worth a lot of money. Okay? And look what Naaman was offering to these servants. 2 talents of silver and 2 bags. 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon the 2 servants, and they bare them before him. What that mean? It was heavy. They were weighed down with some money. I mean, they were dragging this stuff. Okay? So well, think about it, 120 pounds. How far could you drag 120 pounds? Not far. Now watch what happens. Gehazi gets to Elijah the prophet. And in verse 25 it said, where comest thou? Now he's a prophet. See, this is why you hear me always getting on these prophets today. Because they're not prophets like these prophets were. He just asked them, because he already knew where he went. He didn't have to ask them, but he wanted to hear him say it out of his mouth. And he said, Where thou comest, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhere. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee? And when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, it is a time to receive money, to receive garments at olive gardens and wine gardens and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants. Listen, he is lying. Watch what happens in verse 27. And the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and thy seed forever. All right, Pastor, you're all right. We get the tempting thing. Help us to overcome it. Help us deal with it when it comes. And I'm not gonna keep you long. Listen, I already gave you Peter's verse. Peter said, here's how you deal with it. Here's how you deal with the temptation. He said, here's what I had to learn. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion. Here's John. John says this when you want to deal with temptation. He says this in 1 John 3:8. He says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. Now watch this now. And for this purpose, what's the devil sin? He's a tempter. He gonna tempt the people of God to the end of the world. You gonna leave up out of here, Satan gonna be tempting you. Okay? He gonna be tempting you on your dying bed. He's gonna be tempting you. But watch this now. He says, for this purpose, because I know how Satan is, and I know he's a tempter, and I know he's gonna tempt and tempt and tempt. And some of you going right now, I'm being tempted, I'm being tempted. He's gonna tempt and tempt and tempt. And he says this, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Why? Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Why did God send his only begotten Son? To die for our sins. Paul, easily one of the greatest apostles of all. Here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. He says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. We all facing it. We all in this flesh, and we all dealing with temptations every single day. Don't let nobody sit here and fool you and thinking I'm not being tempted.
Amen.
All of us are. And all of us have to deal with it. And we're going to have to deal with it till we leave here. James knew that. James says this in James 1 and 13. He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Watch this now. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Amen. Claire used to talk to me about lust all the time. She said, lust ain't never good. And when lust have conceived, somebody said it bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. The writer of Hebrews, knowing that we're going to go through these things, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4 and 14, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold it. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Hold it. For we have not a high priest. Watch this now. Which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Without sin. Watch what he says here. We're going to deal with you. With the tempter. And he's tempting us, and he's dealing with us, and he's pressuring us to do and say and go. Let us therefore come what? Boldly. Unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Paul writes to the Galatians. I'm going fast. Paul writes to the Galatians and says this. He says, this I say then, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I said, well, easier said than done. It is easier said than done. Then you stay in the word of God. Stay in the power of God. Hide that word in your heart. David was a luster. David sinned greatly and mightily. And when God dealt with David, David gave instructions. Read Psalms 51. Here's what he says, Psalms 119:11. Love this. He says, thy word have I hidden in my heart. Why, David? That I might not sin against thee. David wasn't worried about it. He said, I'm not going to sin against God. And one of the ways that I protect myself, and one of the ways we protect ourselves, is we hide the word of God in our heart. It's so easy today. You put them little beats on, headphones on, put some word in you, and get that word in you. Get you some songs that build you up and strengthen you. Get you some music and some Bible studies on there. Give me some word. I need some word. I need some word. Listen, David again in Psalms 37. Listen, he said, 37:30 said, the mouth of the righteous speak wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God, watch this now, is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The law of God is in the heart of the man or woman of God. Well, as y'all see, I just read scriptures because the word of God speaks louder on these subjects than any man can. Okay? Get you some word. Ask God. Get you some God. Sylvia, Jeremy, Miss Claire, whoever. Jake, next time you do altar call, next time we pray, just pray that God will give the hearers of his word a desire to hear and read and study and meditate on the things of God. Amen. That ought to be a prayer. You know, get my wife, get my son, get my husband, get my children a heart for the things of God, a heart to love the study of God's word. Because it's important. David writing in Psalms 119:98 he said, but thou through thy commandments hast thou made me wiser than my enemies. How about that? For they are ever with me. You're going to have enemies to the day you die. Amen. But you know what you can have? You can be wiser than thy enemies. You ever been in that situation? You got folks plotting against you and you already know what they're plotting. That gives you the great advantage. I ain't going there because I know what y'all up to. There's a whole, the cemeteries is full of folks who weren't wiser than their enemies. He said, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Verse 99 said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. Well, Jesus went to pray. He went to pray and told the disciples, he says, watch while I go pray. And he came back and Bible said he was asleep. Jesus said to Peter, always spoke to Peter, seemed like he knew Peter was the leader. He said, watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. Okay, we get it. We get it, Pastor. We get it. I get it. Let's close. So much to talk to on that subject. Remember, the tempter going to pay us all a visit. He's going to pay us a visit this afternoon. Be ready. He's going to pay us a visit if we leave here on our job tomorrow. He's going to pay us a visit. He don't want this word to stick, and he don't want this word to connect. He don't want you to understand and say, you know what, that makes sense. I'm gonna search the scriptures, and I'm gonna ask God to give me a desire for the things of God, to give me a desire for a powerful prayer life. I'm gonna ask God to increase my faith so I can serve God with all my strength and all my might. He's coming after you. Paul writing lastly. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord.